This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Anne of the Island by Emma Montgomery. Chapter 15. A Dream Turned Upside Down. "Just one more week and we go back to Redmond," said Anne. She was happy at the thought of returning to work, classes, and Redmond friends. Pleasing visions were also being woven around Patty's place. There was a warm, pleasant sense of home at the thought of it, even though she had never lived there. But the summer had been a very happy one, too. A time of glad living with summer suns and skies. A time of keen delight in wholesome things. A time of renewing and deepening of old friendships. A time in which she had learned to live more nobly, to work more patiently, to play more heartily. "All life's lessons are not learned at college," she thought. "Life teaches them everywhere." But alas, the final week of that pleasant vacation was spoiled for Anne by one of those impish happenings which are like a dream turned upside down. "Been writing any more stories lately?" inquired Mr. Harrison genially one evening when Anne was taking tea with him and Mrs. Harrison. "No," answered Anne rather crisply. "Well, no offense meant. Miss Harris Sloan told me the other day that a big envelope addressed to the Rowan's Reliable Baking Powder Company of Montreal had been dropped into the post office box a month ago, and she suspicioned that someone was trying for the prize they offered for the best story that introduced the name of their baking powder. She said it wasn't addressed in your writing, but I thought maybe it was you." "Indeed, no. I saw the prize offer, but I'd never dream of competing for it. I think it'd be perfectly disgraceful to write a story to advertise a baking powder. It would be almost as bad as Judson Parker's patent medicine fence." So spake Anne loftily, little dreaming of the valley of humiliation awaiting her. That very evening, Diana popped into the porch gable, bright eyes and rosy cheeks, carrying a letter. "Oh, Anne, here's a letter for you. I was at the office, so I thought I'd bring it along. Do open it quick. If it's what I believe it is, I shall just be wild with delight." Anne, puzzled, opened the letter and glanced over the typewritten contents. "Miss Anne Shirley, Green Gables, Avonlea, P.E. Island. Dear Madame, we have much pleasure in informing you that your charming story, Capital's Atonement, has won the prize of $25 offered in our recent competition. We enclose the check herewith. We are arranging for the publication of the story in several prominent Canadian newspapers, and we also intend to have it printed in pamphlet form for distribution among our patrons. Thanking you for the interest you have shown in our enterprise, we remain, yours very truly, the Rowan's Reliable Baking Powder Company." I don't understand," said Anne blankly. Diana clapped her hands. "Oh, I knew it would win the prize. I was sure of it. I sent your story into the competition, Anne." "Diana Barry!" "Yes, I did," said Diana gleefully, perching herself on the bed. "When I saw the offer, I then if it didn't win the prize, you'd never know and you wouldn't feel badly over it. Because the stories that failed were not to be returned. And if you did, you'd get such a delightful surprise. Diana was not the most discerning of mortals. But just at this moment, it struck her that Anne was not looking exactly overjoyed. The surprise was there, beyond a doubt. But where was the delight? Why, Anne, you don't seem a bit pleased, she exclaimed. Anne instantly manufactured a smile and put it on. Of course I couldn't be anything but pleased over your unselfish wish to give me pleasure, she said slowly. But you know, I'm so amazed. I can't realize it. And I don't understand. There wasn't a word in my story about, Anne choked a little over the word, baking powder. Oh, I put that in, said Diana, reassured. It was as easy as a wink, and of course my experience in our old story club helped me. You know that scene where Avril makes the cake? Well, I just stated that she used the Rollins Reliable in it, and that was why it turned out so well. And then, in the last paragraph, where Percival clasps Avril in his arms and says, "Sweetheart, the beautiful coming years will bring us the fulfillment of our home of dreams," I added, "in which we will never use any baking powder except Rollins Reliable." "Oh!" gasped poor Anne, as if someone had dashed cold water on her. "And you've won the $25," continued Diana jubilantly. "Well, I heard Priscilla say once that the Canadian woman only pays $5 for a story." Anne held up the hateful pink slip and shaking fingers. "I can't take it. It's yours by right, Diana. You sent the story in and made the alterations. I would certainly never have sent it in. So you must take the check." "I'd like to see myself," said Diana scornfully. "And what I did wasn't any trouble. The honor of being a friend to the prize winner is enough for me. Oh, I must go. I should have gone straight home from the post office where we have company. But I simply had to come and hear the news. I'm so glad for your sake, Anne." Anne suddenly bent forward, put her arms around Diana, and kissed her cheek. "I think you are the sweetest and truest friend in the world, Diana," she said, with a lovely tremble in her voice. "And I assure you that I appreciate the motive of what you've done." Diana, pleased and embarrassed, got herself away, and poor Anne, after flinging the innocent check onto a bureau drawer as if it were blood money, cast herself on her bed and wept tears of shame and outraged sensibility. Oh, she could never live this down. Never. Gilbert arrived at dusk, brimming over with congratulations, for he had called at Orchard Slope and heard the news. But his congratulation died on his lips at the sight of Anne's face. "Why, Anne, what's the matter? I expected to find you radiant over winning Rollins Reliable prize." "Good for you." "Oh, Gilbert, not you too," implored Anne, in an A2 blue tape tone. "I thought you would understand. mother would realize if she found her child tattooed over with a baking powder advertisement. I feel just the same. I loved my poor little story, and I wrote it out of the best that was in me. It was a sacrilege to have it degraded to the level of a baking powder advertisement. Don't you remember what Professor Hamilton used to tell us in literature class at Queen's? He said we were never to write a word for low or unworthy motive, but always to cling to the very highest of ideals. What will he think when he hears I've written a story to advertise Rollins Reliable? Oh, when it gets out at Redmond. Think of how I'll be teased and laughed at. That you won't, said Gilbert, wondering uneasily if it were that confounded junior's opinion in particular over which Anne was worried. The rest will think just as I thought, that you, being like 9 out of 10 of us, not overburdened with worldly wealth, had taken this way of earning an honest penny to help yourself through the year. I don't see that there's anything low or unworthy about that, or anything ridiculous either. One would rather write a masterpiece of literature, no doubt. But meanwhile, board and tuition fees have to be paid. This common sense, matter-of-fact view of the case cheered Anne a little. At least it removed her dread of being laughed at, though the deeper hurt of an outraged ideal remained. End of chapter.